Amen.
Amen. All right. We're moving into the next session. We're going to be looking at how we work. How we work. Then you write.
That's what you call that.
And then you're going to look roll up the sleeves, be active, and get the job done. We're moving into the next session. So, how we work? Roll up your sleeves. Be active. And get the job done. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 10. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Every good work. Now, in the previous verse, Paul is telling them that they have to be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual understanding and wisdom. And this will help them be fruitful in every way. Every way. Once they are knowledgeable in God's word, it will make them fruitful in every way. So the believer has works all around him. Right? What does this translation say?
Thank you very much, Brother. Thank you very much, Pastor, for the opportunity. Pastor, for the message translation, it has actually added them to their own verse 9 to verse 4.
Okay.
It says, be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you will live well for the Master, making Him proud of you as you work hard in His orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul.
Not see how intelligent the rendition puts it.
Yes, 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 yes.
Read it again, suppose. Before we go to heaven.
Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirit.
Wise minds and what?
Spirit.
And spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Attuned to His will.
Attuned to His will. That's actually what will make you attuned to His will.
And so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works.
In the ways in which He works.
We pray that you will live well for the Master.
You live well for Him.
Making him proud of you as you work hard in His orchard.
Of you as you work hard.
His what?
In his orchard.
His what?
Orchard.
What?
Orchard.
It is okay. It's in his orchard. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
Orchard.
Yes. Thank you very much. As you will learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work.
You learn how to do your work.
Yes.
So you see that we are learning how that God works, and that directly affects what
our work.
Do you see that? So, like I told you from the beginning, He's going to be that example that we glean wisdom. Right? Then He being that perfect example for us, we live that life.
Uh-huh. So as you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work.
You learn how to do your work.
We pray you will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul.
Great. So we just prayed, isn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't intelligently done. It's not something I put together. I didn't even know it was very clearly. But we just pray for strength, and that's what he's saying. So that we'll have strength to do what?
Stick it out.
Stick it out means you would be able to do it for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah. To do it for a long time. It's a prophetic teaching, yeah?
Prophetic.
I like this part of the book.
Oh, glory.
So we are playing out the word of God. We just ask the Lord for strength. So that is what will actually keep us going. Do you understand?
Yes.
So there is a work to be done. Continue.
Thank you, my pastor. Not the grand strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives.
Great.
It is the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy.
So hold on, so there's a joy. Listen, the end of that strength. When you see a man's strength break according to God, it means he breaks into joy.
Wow.
So that's the breaking of strength. Bring us in this joy.
Glory. Glory.
Some of you at this point, am I going to be able to be strong?
Wow.
Listen to me. That's not for you to ask. You will have to affirm His word over you that says that the Lord is the strength of your life.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
So it means that everything that happens around you, you will be able to be standing. You will be standing. You're not going to fall.
I'm not going to fall.
Read the previous verse again. Please. Let me just. So you have strength to stick it out over the long haul. Have you been in the ministry for the long haul?
Yes. It's
for the long haul.
For the long haul.
Then he says, not the green strength of gritting your teeth. You know, there's a gritting of the teeth. It's like you are losing strength, but you're not losing strength. You are weak. No, that's what we want. Not that kind of a strength, but the glory strength which comes from the Spirit, which is of the Spirit.
Glory, glory.
It is the strength that endures the endurable.
Right.
And splits over into joy. Situation needs.
You preached it to God. A situation met you. You were shaken. But hear me. He's the strength of your life. I'll still be here. Not because of your physical strength, but there's going to be a strength. Move for the joy that was set before you. Despite the thank you.
best of my life.
The rest of my life.
You'll be the best of my life. The rest of my life. The rest of my life is the best of my life.
The rest
of my life.
Thank you.
your life.
No. of Jesus.
Because he's a dead.
The water. He's full of life.
We are happy. Because he's a dead. There ain't no water.
I say no water.
Be happy.
Yes, sir.
Because he's a dead.
There ain't no water.
I wrote something exactly. He got a job, and he was supposed to be pulling a peach. He was supposed to work on the farm. And so he was very skinny. And again, he was sick. So he was supposed to work on the farm. So when he went for the job, they were asking him, "Are you sure this kind of job is for you?" And in his words, he said that each morning, before summer, we would meet, and every day some of the boys would think, "You would not make it today." But then he would say, "If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here." Then he would say, "For he is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life." So every day he would go, and normally for such habit, the workers drop, like they drop. If they were 20, before they realized, two have realized that no, the first day is not for me. So they say, "I'm confident that I can still pull through." So they'll put in 3-4 days and say, "Charlie, it's not easy." Then 1 week or 1 week, they'll say, "Charlie, the week man, it's not easy. I want to do that way." So people drop. And he became one of the standing people amongst 2 or 3 people.
Wow.
Who were there to the very end. Yes. That's what he would always say. He would always acknowledge the Lord, the strength of his life. So, in another quote, he says, "When we begin to work each morning, I wouldn't have strength. I was the skinniest and weakest. But at the end, I was the only man left in the original group."
Wow.
Sometimes he said, whenever he started to work, he would feel sick. And then the moment he would start to speak the word of God, he felt something trickle down his head. And when that thing trickled, he'll be able to work from morning to evening without getting tired.
Wow.
That's a good mistake. But many times we are fond of saying, I'm tired. And those are the normal words of a lazy man. Yeah. I'm tired. Oh, I'm tired. But not after these meetings.
Amen.
So he was the only one working in the original group. You know, Proverbs, which happens to be one of the wisest men, right? All the wisest. So he makes reference to how important deed. Now, we might want to get on one
syllable.
We will not. This is what I said. So, he commends diligence and condemns what?
Laziness.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, we're going to talk about Ecclesiastes, which actually is also a book written by Solomon. And then we'll come into Proverbs. We're talking about how we work. We said what? Roll up your sleeves, be active, and what?
Get the job done.
Colossians, Ecclesiastes. Let's start. Mention it in your head. Some of you think of some in school. These are even some is why I learned it. That much.
I don't know if it's a lot. God bless you.
How many of us are holy from this thing? Holy?
So, where did you go?
Not holy. So, in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. With your might, right? Whatever it is. You see, I'm a dancer, dance well. Singer, sing well. Whatever your hands find to do, whatever it is. There was somebody who came to me, telling me that the person didn't want a certain course. And I said, well, that's what you want. So whatever it is you are doing, it's good well till you get whatever it is you really want to do. Just do it well. We're talking about how to get the job done. Just do it well. Whatever it is that you like. I get amazed when people tell me that as for me. No matter how small it is, just do it well. That's what the word of God says. Whatever your hands find to do, what should you do?
Do it well.
Do it well. So we're talking about how do you work? How do you work? Do it what?
Well.
Because God will not empower you to see. It's like you are empowering this person to see your power. Even He anointed us to be witnesses. Right? He anointed us so we can go outside and do. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we can go outside and do. So if you are not doing, there's a big problem. The primary reason why God is to still, not just for teaching us, but also that we will be witnesses. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who did what? Who slept?
God.
Who went about? What was he doing? He was doing good. So, God commends diligence and condemns laziness. There has to be that diligence. And you know, tenacity, diligence, perseverance, you can't find it in a lazy man. Do you know that? A lazy man just touches something and like says, it won't work. It won't work. That's how they always talk. They just come to point it. So, Pastor, it's not working. Studying and committing things to memory, it takes some perseverance. Who's it? When I learn, I can't remember. There's some sort of laziness in your life. learns and remembers. Everybody can forget. And I know how the mind works. That's what I'm telling you. Who learns? Because the moment information is not accessed, over time the neurons of that information they get disappeared. Who learns and remembers? If it takes you 3 hours to get something done, it takes somebody 1 hour to get something done. You study 3 hours, the other person study 1 hour, and you both get it done. Don't have excuses that you have to study 5 hours to get something 1 hour. 5 hours is your own, do 5 hours. Or ask God for strength or our wisdom. But don't have an excuse of being lazy. Don't have an excuse for being
teaching with Pastor Sir.
So in a conception, the same, whatever your hands find to do, it is not your works. You have to be that's what you are, that's what you are. It's 100. That's what you are. Because we can't buy, we can't pay for your works. It's free. For example, I watched one, it was a funny video. So, somebody, wanted to employ a plumber who would come and do some like, very good work. And then the plumber mentioned the price. He said, you can't pay that one. So, he went and chose some 200 naira or something to the plumber. And the plumber showed him that. So your words one time I'm telling you, this is realized in my own realized that I'm telling you. I wanted to fix a fan, like a ceiling fan in my room. And I called someone who they said the person was a professional. And the guy mentioned it, but I said, I'll give you this. I'll give you what about that? No. And the guy mentioned some brands. I said, okay, I'll give you this. I said, no. I said, I'll give you this. I said, no, I'll give you that. I'll give you. I called him. I said, where are you? He said, oh, well, I'm just out across the road. I went to meet him. I said, no, don't you take this. No, I'll take this. I said, you said no. I said, I'm like, I don't know, you take this. I'm the car in the palace franchise. He looked at me very. I'm sure you can fix the fan. Fixing fans. I didn't know. People of God. I read a real life story. I removed my father's fan. When I removed the fan, he said that. He said. So he didn't also know they were tilted. So when we moved the then we now remove the blades. These are killing. Somebody, they told me, and who are you? They told me that Somebody keeps the pan in their room. And before they realize, the pan has been so we moved to the farm and to fix the brain to the board. Easy mode.
You shouldn't take it seriously.
So God commends the way he is excellent. And that is beautiful. Do you understand?
Yes.
What that next? That is good. When you see something in Proverbs, quickly, Proverbs chapter 10. You see, what I'm teaching you right now, by the time we get into the text, you understand how it fits me. But it's very key for you and your whole life, what I'm teaching you right now. It's very key. When we find you lazy, we have to ask God. So in Proverbs chapter 10, let's fly now. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 35. He who has a slack hand becomes what? Becomes what? Becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes what? Rich. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. So 11. He who tills his land will be what? Satisfied with what? With bread. Are you listening?
Yeah.
You will have good things.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of work. I told you God is a worker. Don't be afraid of work. Proverbs 21, 25. Proverbs 21, 25. Proverbs 21, 25. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and what? Okay, sorry, I'm reading. The desire of the least man's what? Kills him. 21, 25. The desire of the lazy man, that's what?
Kills him.
For his hands refuse to labor. And least we have desires. You don't have money.
Guys, if I don't eat, you say.
I'm serious. Everything I tell you is true. And he said, oh, he's the last one.
Desires. The reason why desire.
You know how many desires. And you want to buy meat, chicken, fish, and a touch of salad. What I'm saying, try this. I'm seeing that. Listen.
But not to listen.
Amen.
So many desires. You know I'm going to take your
Yes, prophet.
Hey.
Something I wrote for you, what many employees have realized. So many employees have realized a declining work ethic among employees. Many are surprised at what they are asked during interviews. How early can I leave? Is what they ask. They need to close at 3 per day every time than the time for closing. How long can I take for lunch? There's a room for lunch. Which is just a few minutes. They take like 1 hour, 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes for lunch. We're eating the whole world. We're eating the whole world. Come on, lectures, get up and go. 8 to 2, 8 to 3, 8 to 4. You will know. Your parents have put you in school. They're looking at you. So, a lazy man or a lazy woman.
How much vacation time do I get? Vacation time.
This is going to change.
Change.
You go back. The way you handle the things that you should handle will be different.
Amen.
And as we get into talks concerning the ministry, the way you handle it will be different.
Amen.
Don't allow laziness. Put a book in front of you. 20 minutes you're already sleeping. You start a business. It looks like it's not really working. You're already giving up. Rather, you should be someone that shows up on time, be prepared, show up to do your best, show up and do the job for Jesus. You will show up on time. You will show up prepared. You will show up to do your best. Show up and do the job for Jesus. So again, you should be somebody that shows up. You don't have your absenteeism. If you are always not there, or you are many times not around, it's not a good trait to have. It's not a good trait to have. You show up on time. Whatever it is you are giving to do, you do it because you will show up on time. You show up prepared. You just take you into the place. Again, when I'm teaching you, you might know how important it is. It's so important. You show up to do your best. You show up and you do your job. All ministry. And for Jesus. So we're going to get into conversations on ministry. So we've seen how God is in work, right? And we've seen the attitude of how we should get the job done. It's no diligence, perseverance, right? Tenacity, endurance. Then we get to the work, actually. God is not lazy. But Jesus is also not lazy. Do you know when he used to walk from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria? When Jesus experienced the lesson at the time, it took them 3 days to go. So it means they had walked 3 days. Then they got to realize that Jesus is not lazy. Then they took another 3 days to walk back. Mary was quite soft. Because the answer to Jesus again, don't you know? Anytime I read that story, it comes to my mind. Don't you know? Joseph was a very soft man. Wow. The last one was thick. The God. So, Jesus is working. God is working. We ought to work. But more, there is a work that he's doing today on the earth. It's called the work of the ministry. And truly, serving God is not for lazy people. In fact, it looks like the devil calls the lazy man. Except that he finds in work to do. But if you put a lazy man down, you say, God, would you choose a lazy man or the devil? Would you choose a lazy man? None of them would choose a lazy man. Because they cannot use him for anything. God cannot use him. The devil too cannot use you because the devil uses difficult. It's not that easy. The devil can use you. You'll be depressed, you'll be sad, you'll be insulted, you'll be angry. He's using you. But it's working. Those who have very dark means of doing things, you see. Someone is praying and fasting for the devil to have his way. And the Christian is happily and excitedly eating. For God to show mercy. You don't be the same. So, being steward is not means. Put that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ministry work is not for the least. You know, Jesus was tired. Yes, he was tired at the point because he had worked so hard. When he met the Samaritan woman, he was asking the Lord to come alone. And he spoke about how he had been tired. So it is good. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, and what?
Teachers.
Now, look what he gave them. For the equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the training of the saints, for what?
The worship.
So it means that the concept of ministry is work. Don't let anybody deceive you that ministry is just taking a man's selfie or a man's picture. And the rest of wow! We love that one. The rest of maybe you like. The rest good. But when it comes to like work, you see that you're like, you are going away. So there's need for work. Why I'm teaching you this is because if we're going to experience the more, right? The more we will have to work. And it's called the work of the ministry. Listen. Not the work of an electrician. It's the work of the ministry. It means our fingers are active at doing what God will have us do. Let me tell you something. It's not the work of an accountant. There is the work of an accountant, and you respect. How did I talk to you? All solely work in everywhere. Because that's God's attribute, or it's his attitude. Right?
Yes,
that he can work potent. Only potent. He works. He works. So if God is going to be working, it means that we also have to be workers. You know what my grandmother told me sometime? I think it's a common man. Does not kill anybody. She said that in the language. I think it was in English. You know that. You work hard, something that happens. You actually fulfill when you work hard. So in the ministry, we're not talking about the work of an accountant. That's why he gave the offices. He gave apostles to his prophets, he gave pastors who are teachers, then he gave evangelists. So that they will equip the saints, so that the saints will now be able. Meet that center of working the work of ministry. It's service in God's vineyard. Remember, I showed you how that he prayed. He asked his disciples to pray that the Lord will send forth the laborers into his vineyard. Right? So, people who are going to work and they are going to toil and they are going to labor. This is going to be like a changing moment in many of your ministries. This part of the teaching. So,
I want you to have an abhorrence for laziness and insolence and people who do not work. And attitudes of work that portrays laziness. I want you to see it and not like it. When you do something, you do it well.
Well.
You do it well. So he's giving us all of these options so that you will be true for the work of ministry. The word work there is ego. E-R-G-O-N. It means business. Employment. That's which anyone is occupied with. Some of you have had this. You see that you have really never worked for God. Yeah. When you say, oh, I'm working for God. You have really never worked for God. But after today, you're going to go back and you say, oh, that's what it means to work for God. It means I'll start to work for God. That which anyone is occupied. For the word edit, C-R-G-A-T, which means worker. So Edom is working or works. The edit is the worker. You see that? And that is a toiler. A toiler. A teacher. A laborer. Econ is works. Ekins is worker, the worker of the works. So when he says the works of the ministry, he's talking about somebody who is occupied with activities of the ministry. And that is the responsibility of the saints. Do you see that Ephesians 4 verse 11 is not saying that I should work the work of the ministry? No, I'm supposed to equip you to work the works of the ministry.
Mm.
So the reason why he gives apostles from the pastor's teachers is so that there will be an equipment. The equipment is what I'm doing right now.
Mm.
So that my responsibility is to equip you so you will be found fit for the work of the ministry.
Yes.
So the work of the ministry, the laboring of the ministry, the toil of the ministry, right, is what we're talking about. A worker, one that labors, one that toils, one that is occupied with. To me, that the ministry, people of God, Christ only, if you are, is toil. You know, when you meet people again, when you see people say, I really desire the grace of God on your life. You feel me? When you really were, in your mind, you say, you don't know what you're saying. You desire the grace, but you don't come to meetings, you don't show up to anyone, you don't do anything, you don't discipleship. Just then you say, you desire the grace, you love the grace. We envy the grace. We covet the grace. I want to tell you something. Ministry and serving the Lord is work. It is hard. It's what? But don't forget, there's a worker. Work that you should work. There is a worker that works the works on the inside of you. A worker, somebody that works the work. But ministry is toil, it's labor, it's work. You will have results as labor. Come here, my son. You will have results as labor.
is what? So if already you're not ready to toil, then you cannot work the work of the ministry. But it's labor from a place of rest. It's labor from a place of rest. So it means that there's a joy that comes with what you do, even though it feels engaging. Take your sense. To be a worker for the Lord means that there will be a toil. In fact, the word egis also means a teacher. Don't you think me standing here and so on? Ready?
It's
called toil. It's called toil. It's called toil. Again, in Matthew 9:37-38. Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest tree is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more what?
Laborers.
More laborers into his harvest. And you know, whenever you pray that God should send forth laborers into his harvest, you are that laborer. So don't be saying that, raising the Lord, raising the Lord, send them.
That's true. I'm not doing it.
We really wish you well. You are the one God has called. You are the one God has sent. We'll be praying for you. Yeah? In Luke chapter 7, let me read the NLT version. Luke 10. You will work with excitement.
Amen.
Luke chapter 10, verse 7.
Don't move around.
Home to home. It's eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality. Because those who work deserve their what? Their wages of their pain. I'm exposing it to you. So that when we start to work for the Lord, people will look at us and say, why is this people working? So, a worker is ready to go. That's why, as a pastor, if you don't appreciate my work, you rob me of what is due me. That's how you rob the pastor. You didn't know. You have to see that as a responsibility. That as a responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure my pastor is fine. Nobody can teach you. It's hard to teach you. Make sure my pastor is fine. Pastor will not lack anything. Because he will. You know, sometimes you will not appreciate what it takes to bring this to you the way I bring it. you might just be standing and speaking, but there's more to standing and speaking. There are several minutes of prayer. I need to pray into the meeting so that your minds can receive what I have to have you receive. There are several minutes of preparation to set things up in a way that communicates what exactly it is you have to get. Do you understand?
Yes,
so it's not just standing and talking to you and just writing something down. Where did those things come from? How were they arranged? Were they just arranged passively to just understand this? So a weapon is when God is praying. And you know, as you realize this, you will have the blessing of the Lord, because you do not rob the one that works and toils to have you learn God's word. Do you understand? So, that was just by the way, but he calls that work. Calls that what? Calls that work. Calls that work. I saw several days to the meeting just to make sure that things are going in a way that I can communicate to you and it makes sense to you. Yeah? And sometimes you have to actually read before. So what you have to do is that you start reading things before and meditating, because you also have works to teach, but there's a communication by the Spirit that you must have in the meeting. So it's not just any kind of works. You have to intelligently choose what you want to communicate in the meeting. So when you say to the cobbler, not just you want to take 15 seats. Just a small, just add it for me. Where do you put? You see that? Come on, show your button. So, in John chapter 4, verses 20. So, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 25. Do you not see that 4 months then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers food for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You see that this is when there's a reaping. There's a Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 19. Acts 14, verse 19 to 26. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and staying. They were strengthened, they were working. It means they went back to look back at the work that they had already done, and they encouraged them. See what happens.
must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended to the Lord in whom they had believed. After they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch. Well, can you see some activities of work?
Yes. Yes.
They moved from one place to the other. So movement is very key in the work we have to do.
Yes.
So from there, they sailed in Antioch. They sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of the Lord for the work which they had completed. So they were commended for the work which they had completed. So it's called the work of the ministry. It is work. See Acts 15:38.
But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed
from them in Pamphylia and have not gone with them to what? Look at your Bibles, to what? He was actually talking about John Mark here. So John Mark, the first missionary journey between Paul and Barnabas, right? Disappeared. On the second missionary journey, he appears. And then Barnabas is trying to say, okay, let's some consolation. So he said, okay, you know what? I don't really need to, let's agree. Let's accept John Mark. Right? Then Paul is saying, nah, let's not accept John Mark. You know why? Because he says that he had not gone with them to the first work. He was not there. He was not there. Barnabas was that soft guy. Paul was saying, no, you didn't work for it, so you shouldn't go with us. You are supposed to be left behind. So in the ministry, when you see people cannot stay and work and cannot stay actually, they are not working many good things. Yeah. It's good, it's easier to jump into a canoe when it's sailing freely on the ship. It's difficult to draw it into the sea. And unfortunately, there are some who are supposed to draw the canoe into the sea and push it for it to sink in. To sail. But rather, they say, no. There's work. Are you listening?
There's work.
And I want you to see that as a very great privilege to be people that push the canoe when it's tough on the sea. Because there are going to be tough times, trying times, challenging times as a ministry. But would Jesus disappear? Would Jesus stand and disappear? Like John Mark, he just said, no, we are not going to go. Or maybe we want to be the second one. Today, we really want a place where there is air conditioning, there is coca, there's that, and then the singer, tigida, divoni, tigida, and then the sound is really good, the chairs are really soft. Then I say, hey, today we are having a meeting under the shed. Don't you have to say what is? Because I the ground, from the sun, you don't want to grow. That's
work.
Who likes work in this place? Am I scaring you?
No. I love it. Hard work.
I've been actually wanting to tell you that you were sitting down a long time, but now it's like, don't see you sitting down for long. That's changed. I think we should look at this thing. Let's
put it. Oh, yeah.
So, take your seat in Acts 15, 38. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took and sealed the disciples, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren of the grace of God. So Paul said that John Mark, he left. We are not having John Mark here at all. Barnabas said, no, we are having John Mark here. And Paul said, we are not having John Mark here. Paul said, no, we are having John Mark here. Then it became so sharp. Paul said, see, when we went on our first missionary journey, do you know what happened to us? We almost died. Where was he? Where was John Mark? Now I saw that the first missionary journey, we have been commended, he's not coming to there, he's part of us. He's not part of us. So that's why in the ministry, when you see people who are not excited about the state of the ministry, they're not supposed to be part of it. They're not. You know the one thing? Every church starts small.
Wow.
Rich.
Yes. Starts small. You don't know. You just don't know.
Wow. Rich.
Discipleship is not really too much. We don't have time for it. We don't have time for that. We are just going to do it. We don't really have it. It's work.
Work.
But if we are not working, I'm not saying it's working, I'm sleeping. We are not working. That's 16, 38, that's where we are. You're waiting for God. That reward.